Welcome, everyone. This is the DC and Census podcast, and we have yours truly. Thank you for, you know, being on this podcast, and please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm Darlene Perday. I am the founder and CEO of DP Consults, and I make selling authentic and relational versus sleazy and cheesy.
I like that, what you just said. You said the sleazy and cheesy. That. All right, so let's talk more about, like, you know, for our listeners, talk more about yourself.
Sure. So I've been in sales for over 30 years. And when I began my career, there's a lot of information out there as far as how to sell and methods and methodology and different things like that. Most of them never really resonated with me. A lot of times when I was hearing what you should do, create pain points, create urgency, scare tactics, you know, I'm the best. There's no other way. If you don't go with my service, you know, your business is doomed. That is, to me, that really pushes me away. If somebody approached me like that, I would not want to buy from them. So what I started to do was develop my own style where I was really just actively listening to people, understanding what their needs are, sharing my value and seeing if it was a good fit. And I made an amazing career out of that. And of course, I grew into that and just leaned into it. And there were times when I didn't think I was doing the right thing because somebody who was making millions of dollars was, you know, surely they would know what to do. And the bottom line is I kept going back to center of being empathetic and relational.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So talk more about sales, as in, like, what made you get into sales and everything?
So I don't know. Like, I don't think anybody particular, maybe some people do. I didn't particularly set out to go into sales. But with my personality, I realized that connecting with people was just, that was a natural extension. We're all selling something, right? Even if we're not in a sales role. So I started in the fashion industry and I did product development and buying, but ultimately I always had the customer in mind and the people that were going to be buying the product. So I developed a good reputation within the industry because even though I was developing the product, I was also always on the big key accounts. They trusted me because I wasn't going to sell them everything. You don't need the whole line. This is what you need, because ultimately it could be tempting to get that big order immediately. But if it's not what the client needs, you're not going to get that trust and that return client. So I built relationships with huge companies because they knew I was going to sell them straight.
Gotcha. Okay. And talk more about, like, your clients, you know, talk about your success stories with your clients and everything.
Yeah. So in that career, it morphed to, I am the director of business development for a virtual staffing company. And my main clients are solopreneurs and entrepreneurs. Inevitably, I kept hearing the same story of wonderful coaches and consultants that did not like sales and they were looking for somebody to sell for them. And it was over and over again, the same stream of thought process, like, I need somebody who's going to sell. And that's, to me, one of the biggest mistakes that an entrepreneur can do is have somebody selling your product before you're ready. I'm not talking about scaling. I'm talking about really the owner. You are your best salesperson because you're passionate. You created the business for a reason. Conveying that passion and how you can help people does not have to be a mind shift to sales. It could just be sharing what you do. So what I do is that's when I developed DP Consults. And what I do is I go in and I understand all the different moving parts, the value they bring. I work with their personality. I do not have a one size fits all type of approach. Yes, there's principles that I use and there's wisdom that I can share, but for you, Diamond, I would get in and understand, like, what are you selling? What makes you light up? What, taking that passion, harnessing it, giving talking points, and then giving them a method of strategy of how to follow up, what's appropriate, really makes the difference. A lot, you know, I can give you a couple of stories about my clients. One was a mindset coach. So she was fantastic and she spoke into people's lives and she helped them get over those roadblocks. And she had a big boulder sitting there in front of her that she couldn't move. So when I was speaking with her, we found out that it was a good fit to work together. I went in, I did a SWOT analysis of her whole business, showed her where the gaps are. It's so nice to have somebody on the outside just kind of, if we all have blind spots in all of our businesses. So seeing where those improvements can be made and then working with her for exactly what she does, I gave her a mind shift, moving it from the end of a quote unquote sales call. The success is not whether you get a client or not. Did you convey your value? Did you build trust? Do people trust you? That sometimes results to an immediate sale. Sometimes that results to a sale in the future. And sometimes it results to people referring you. So once she kind of shifted her perspective of it's not win or lose, it's sowing those seeds. You know, be a farmer, not a hunter. It completely changed her perspective and she was able to then grow her business to where she was comfortable selling her own services.
You said be a farmer, not a hunter.
Yes.
That's a ball what you just said. Be a farmer, not a hunter. Definitely. That. So do you mean like grow instead of hunting?
Yeah. So, you know, again, there's a lot of sales coaches out there and, you know, you have to hunt. Certainly. I mean, I can do it. You want to prospect business, but if you think of every conversation as sowing those seeds of your brand, what you do, and really having that person understand that you truly want the best for them, that is going to reap a harvest regardless if they're a client or not. Some of my best networking partners never needed my services or used my services, but have brought me tons of business because they know that I will be able to help that person. Or if I'm not the right fit, I will pass them on to someone else in my network who can.
Awesome. Definitely awesome with that. Definitely. So let's drop a gem on them. Let's talk to the solo entrepreneurs. The solo entrepreneurs, you know, when they have a business, you know, things can get overwhelmed when, you know, when they get consistent. So what advice would you give them or what you recommend for solo entrepreneurs?
Sure. So for solo entrepreneurs, it is difficult to balance everything and to be able to do outreach, support, you know, the your funnel, build your funnel, all of those different things. What I come in and I give them a good standard operating procedures for a method of how to follow up, what's appropriate. The more that you can not necessarily automate, because I know how to automate. I deal up, like I live in that world, but I feel like I need to personally touch that person with not only value, but also something personal. Like, hey, Diamond, we met, you know, how are things going? How are your holidays? Not just buy from me. So I help them set up systems that are going to work for them, that are easily manageable. And when you have good systems, you don't have to have a good memory, right? because the more detailed notes you can take, the more I have little notes in my CRM of who I spoke with. They're speaking to their wife, they're speaking to their husband or whatever about moving forward. They're waiting on a new launch of a line. You know, really, it's not that I don't care. I just talk to so many people I would never remember. So having those notes in your system, and then when you reach out, you could have canned emails with some kind of value that you're giving them, but personalize it. Hey, Diamond, how is that new product line that you started? Any movement on that? You know, would it make sense to talk again? That type of relationship that you're not just doing a vanilla email and they get one every week or twice a week where they just unsubscribe.
Okay. So when you said create a system, right? Talk more about how to create a system.
So with my service, I come in and understand what the service lines are, and then I give them a cadence of how to follow up. When you speak to your prospect, where do they fall? Is it they're interested in buying now and you need to do a quick follow-up or get them whatever information? Is it something that they love what you do, but it's not right now? You know, that goes into a different type of cadence. Or is it something like, you know, you may say, well, I love what you do, darling, but I'll never need you. That's a different cadence, right? Because maybe you want to get a referral partner. Maybe you want to do strategic partnerships. Maybe there's events that you can introduce me to or I can introduce you. Operating with that generous mindset to be able, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. The more value that you're bringing to a person's world without expectation, the more they are going to trust you. If you're operating authentically, I'm not saying to do this as a manipulation or, you know, a sales ploy. I'm saying when you operate that way, you always receive much more than you sow. Back to the whole farming type of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. And when you talk about that, how is more like, do you need, and going back to the systems, right? When you play with systems, let's say, you know, and that goes back to solo entrepreneurs, they get, you know, they get overwhelmed, right? So do you think they need like a virtual assistant, or do you think they need a team or something like that? Like, how does it work for them to make them not feel overwhelmed and, you know, and stuff like that also? When they're creating systems.
I think when you are going into business for yourself, you have to understand you're going to be overwhelmed in the beginning. It is just the nature of the business. Unless, listen, I don't know, people come from different backgrounds or whatever. If you're independently wealthy and can hire a team right away and hire a virtual assistant and stuff, fantastic. I mean, I sell virtual assistant services for my day job, and I don't have a virtual assistant for DP consults. It's all me. And I have it manageable and everything like that. So understanding that first and foremost, you have to know what your value is, make sure your offerings are on point, and then you can start. It doesn't have to be fancy. If a Google Doc works well for tracking the people that you talk to or network with, do it in a Google Doc. There's always the latest and the greatest technology. And thankfully, there are different CRMs that are affordable and that you can track things and send things out to keep yourself organized. If you get to the point where you're losing revenue because you're not going to be able to get in front of enough people and sell or fulfill. I work with a lot of service-based entrepreneurs. So if you can't fulfill what you're offering, that's the time to start hiring. And thankfully, there's so many great options out there that you can fractionally have somebody for a couple hours a week that's high quality, Or somebody to do your books or somebody to do your marketing. There's so much outsourcing that, you know, the type of world we live in, that everything does not have to be on you. But if you do it too soon, you're wasting time and money, because I have seen it's the consistency to hire an assistant, to onboard them and not to be able to support it going forward. You just threw that money out the window and your time, and you're actually in a deficit of where you are.
Absolutely. And talk about, should entrepreneurs have an assessment?
So I think it is always wise. It is always wise to have somebody's outside opinion who is an expert. Not everybody's opinion. You have 20 people. 20 people will give you your opinion. Don't go show it to your neighbor who has no idea what you do, you know, that type of thing. But trusted resources. So part of my process is doing an overall assessment, because sales is not in a vacuum. You don't just sell. If you don't have your marketing in place, if your offer isn't clear, if your website is like you have to be 8 pages deep to find out what you even do, you could be the best salesperson in the world. Nobody's not going to know what you do or how you can help them. So especially, and we all do this, our vernacular, there may be things in your industry that are so second nature to you. You may use a term that I don't even know what you're talking about, but it doesn't register with you because you use it every day. So getting that outside window into what you're doing to say, what does this mean? If, you know, most people don't even know who their target market is. They just say, everybody, I can serve everybody. It's not true. It's the worst thing you can do. So having that outside source to really focus you on what you do best and look for the blind spots and the gaps is invaluable. And sometimes I work with a lot of clients. It's just one time and they run away with everything and they're fantastic. You don't need somebody to nurse you all the time, right? Sometimes it's just like down and dirty, like here's my drive-by assessment and they're good to go. So it really just depends on the person.
Okay. That's... when it depends on that person, what about their characteristics or personality? Is that important?
So, you know, the people that I work with, I'm so blessed to work with amazing people. Part of my process is that I do a discovery call to see if I'm the right fit for them, they're the right fit for me. It depends on the expectation. If somebody is looking for a quick fix, if somebody is trying to get over on people and not sell quality and really help others, I'm not interested. There's a million other people that can help you, you know? But I don't really get that. Like I get people that truly just need that encouragement and some of those systems in place to go forward. I think everybody can learn. I know I'm an extroverted person, but I don't think you have to be extroverted to be able to sell. I think passion is so important. If you are apathetic about your own business, no one else will be excited. If you are excited about your business, that is contagious. And people, you know, for me, I love an underdog, so to speak, like somebody who is just like, they're fantastic. I could see that potential, but they just need that little boost. And that is a beautiful thing to watch, is when they come into their own.
And I love that you said you consult people that is very serious about, you know, helping people or, you know, want to create value. Right.
Yes.
Not the ones that just be like, oh, whatever, I'm just here for money.
Yes.
So for your business, right, You do presentations and everything. So talk about more of like, if somebody is watching this right now, what would you tell them to create value in their business?
So how they can create value for their clients?
How would you help them?
How would I help them?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would look like everybody has superpowers, right? And there's a million consultants out there. What is unique to them? What could they offer? And again, sometimes we're so blind to those things because it's so second nature to us. Like a lot of my clients don't even see the value that they are bringing because it's easy for them, right? That's our zone of genius. It's so easy for us that sometimes we dismiss the value. So I would find those nuggets of what is really unique about them, what is their personality, and again, make it seamless that when they are having the sales calls, they're just sharing what they do and they can share with the excitement. They're not following a script. It's not a canned type of thing, and understanding how to answer those open-ended questions, you know, to ask those open-ended questions and really dig deep into what the person needs and what they want. And that's exactly why I call it a discovery call. So I help each one of my clients set up a series of questions for that discovery call to make sure no one wants to serve someone that they're not going to be able to really help, right? There, again, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about my clients. So making sure that you're the right fit for your client just as much as you want that sale is super important because you want happy clients, and that's how your reputation, your brand really grow.
Absolutely. Yes. And this is good. This is good. This is very good what you're saying. Definitely. This is good. This is great. So going back to sales, for entrepreneur, let's say if an entrepreneur get their skills in like working in like Macy's or something like that, right? They do sales, you know, in a job. Do you think that can be the same skills they have as entrepreneurship if they're working like a sales job, Macy's, or, you know, stuff like that?
I'm a Macy's girl. Hey, I met my husband 35 years ago. We were both working for Macy's. So just a little fun fact. So I think like I am a believer in soft skills. I think they are more important than, you know, an education or, you know, a degree or anything like that, or even experience, right? What skills do you have? If you're in construction, that doesn't mean you can't turn around and start a tech company if you, you know, if you have the knowledge and everything like that and be able to sell it. I think it's more about having the heart, an ongoing learner, grit, passion, those things. Like, you know, I always laugh because in my career, somebody would be like, I'm the type of person to look at 50 different requirements for a job. And if I have a half of one, I'm like, I can figure it out, right? Like my husband was an accountant and he was a numbers guy. And he would be like, if there was 10 things needed, if he had 9 of them and not the 10th, he'd be like, oh, wait, I can't apply. So, you know, I think you have to have that just like kind of boldness and fearlessness to just try things. And everybody is figuring things out. And if you're an entrepreneur, you have those things because it takes a lot of grit and a lot of guts to be able to start your own business. But I also think I am always hungry for wisdom and knowledge. I will listen to anyone and collaborate with anyone and learn from people. I've lived long enough. I'm a lot older than you. I've lived long enough to know that people, even people that suck, you can learn something from them, right? Learn what not to do. Or if somebody has a bad personality, but they have some wisdom, take what you need and throw away the rest. You can learn from bad managers. You can learn from bad bosses. You can learn from bad clients, you know, all of those different things. So just really being hungry to learn and grow, because in my career, I have learned so much and I'm always learning. I mean, now the whole AI movement, like there's things that I didn't even, you know, I mean, I was one of those people that used the first Mac in Photoshop back in the day, and it was like 800 feet wide and, you know, that type of stuff. So just to, you know, that type of grit is going to make you indispensable, because you're going to be able to figure it out wherever you land.
And how you feel about AI?
I think it's fantastic. Like I, you know, a lot of people are afraid of it. Is it going to replace marketing? Is it going to replace? I don't think so. Again, I think if you have that critical thinking aspect of it, you're going to be able to utilize it just like every other tool out there. I don't, let me put it this way. If AI is able to replace me, it's time I retire, right? Like, because if you don't have the heart, with all the technology, the people that are going to stand out are the people that are going to be the critical thinkers, the champions for others, and the people adding that soft skills and values even more so, because everybody is immune to all this messaging and different things like that. So I think you can use it as a tool, but I don't think it's going to replace the people it's replacing. Maybe need to move on.
And do you feel like do you feel like entrepreneurs can use AI as a tool?
It is amazing. So I've taken, I also am like a knowledge hoarder, right? Like I just try to get as much as possible. So I always say I have a list on, like literally on the side of my desk, of rabbit holes that I want to go down. I'm also ADHD. So, you know, I consider it my superpower, because I can take in a lot of information. So what I've seen with ChatGPT, like, again, it's not going to replace something, but a lot of people look at a blank page and they don't know where to start. So putting in the right prompts, getting that, and then putting your own spin on it is great. That's a time saver. If I have to write a newsletter, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, but like if I have my thoughts, I can throw it in and then take that. It saves me so much time. There's prompts for social media postings. Again, it's not going to, I wouldn't be comfortable just using it flat out, like not touching it. But then there's also, I'm actually going to a webinar later today. There's seamless at AI, I think. I'm probably messing up that. It's incredible. They can do keywords and they can do like a lot of the marketing things. And again, it's not going to replace these amazing marketing people out there. But it is going to, it's not seamless. I gave you the wrong, I'll drop it to you later, but I can't think of what it is right now.
Seamless in AI?
It's not, that's not the right one.
That's not the right one?
It's not. I think that's a lead gen company, but I'll send it to you later. But the thing is that it's for a solopreneur, there's so much at your fingertips for not a lot of money. You don't have to hire a copywriter in the beginning. Now, hopefully you grow to the point where you can, but you want to be wise about your resources and like do as much as you can until you can hire out better.
So for solo entrepreneurs, take notes what she just said. So you're saying AI is a tool for solo entrepreneurs also?
Absolutely.
That they can use. Okay.
Absolutely. Like I use ChatGPT all the time and it's free. It's a free resource and I can drop in something, and sometimes like I'll drop in what I write, see what it comes up with, make this shorter, make this more concise. It's all about the prompts. And again, there's a lot of resources out there. There's free webinars everywhere. There are there's networking groups. There's not a lot. You don't have to invest a lot to get, people love to talk about what they love to do. Even podcasts. I'm a podcast junkie. I listen to people all the time. And you're gleaning that wisdom and then you're making it your own. So it may not resonate with someone to use AI at all, but I think the people that are going to miss the boat are the ones that are afraid of technology or afraid of what it can do. If you embrace it and use it to, you know, leverage it versus just either giving it all over to technology or not using it, I think those are the people that are going to survive.
Let's go. Let's go. Come on now. Let's go. Come on now. Come on now. Drop a fire on that one. Okay. Definitely. So as we are pressed on time and everything, so talk more about like your websites and everything, you know, talk more about your business. Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, I offer a couple of things. I offer a 1 month strategy that gives you everything you need to go and sell your own services. You can go to my website, dp-consults.com, fill out the information. We can have a chat. It doesn't have, there's no pressure. See if it's the right fit for you. And I can explain more in depth of how I can serve entrepreneurs. I also do rapid fire coaching, which if somebody has a new line or a new idea, maybe they're selling, maybe they're great with sales, but they need that outside perspective. I can do that as well. And that is something that I love doing because it's like fast and furious. And it's just like a really good brainstorming session. And I will say, some of the best compliments I have is that I work with incredible people. And in the beginning, I was like intimidated to even work with them because I'm like, how am I going to offer value? And what consistently comes back to me is I'm a straight shooter. So I'm going to be able to, even if it's not comfortable, point out, okay, this isn't really clear or whatever. Feedback that I get is like they find that so valuable because they feel like the people in their lives are not honest. They're afraid to give them feedback because they think they know more. You know, if it doesn't, I don't know everything. If it doesn't resonate with that person, if I'm off base or whatever, that's fine. But at least I can say from a fresh perspective. So that, you know, that is something that I bring. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I am big on LinkedIn. I do have, you know, Facebook and Instagram, but I can't keep up with everything. So LinkedIn is for me where my clients really sit, and I put a lot of content out on LinkedIn that you can follow and learn from.
And so now that we are pressed on time again, so we throughout the show when we come to conclusion, so I ask you three questions.
Okay.
What is your final thoughts?
My final thoughts is I would just love to leave people with the encouragement that they can sell their own services. It's not this big mystery. It may take a little tweaking, a little bit of coaching, but you're your best person because you created that business and you're the right person to sell it for today until you are growing.
Gotcha. Okay. And you already talked about how to connect with you, and now how can they work with you? Like if someone be like, I want to work with you.
Yeah. So go to the website, fill out the form. I'll schedule a call with you, excuse me, to go through and just make sure you're understanding everything that I can offer, if it's the right fit for you, the right time for you. And if it is, then we start working together, and I have a whole discovery form of different information that I need to collect from them. So this way I can do that overall analysis, and then we could dig deep into the sales process.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Okay. And where do you see yourself 5-10 years from now?
You know, that's always a funny question. I don't know. The past couple of years, I went through a lot with my husband with medical things and had the rug ripped out from under me. And I was always a planner and we had, you know, goals and different things. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I am here to enjoy the day and to enjoy the journey because nothing is guaranteed. Not one day is guaranteed.
Drop a little gem. You said things is not guaranteed. Drop a gem on them.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a higher achiever myself, I always had like goals and I'm going to make it to this and I'm going to make it to that. And even starting my own business, for me, I had to remove that pressure from, you know, in all fairness, I just want to say I have a day job that I have. So I'm not telling people that God bless those people that put all their eggs in one basket and go for it. I'm not in a situation where I could, right? So it's a little bit different, but I started it as a passion project because I want to help people and I learn from every person I help. I get myself even better. So it's not about having a certain amount of clients or a certain amount of money. It's the value that I am engaging with on the day to day. And that is so fulfilling to me. And again, I am a big champion of people. Watching others win is so, you know, it's so gratifying when you know you had a little cog in their wheel of helping them succeed.
Absolutely. I know that I said that was the last question. But we still have a little bit of time. Sure, is it okay if I squeeze one last question? Is that okay?
Go for it.
Okay. So my last question is what advice would you give to the folks that are have a job and entrepreneurship? How can they have a balanced life to that? Since we are moving towards 2024, what advice would you give them towards like how can they crush their goals and stuff?
Okay, well that's a loaded question for sure. What I would say is my earpiece is falling out. What I would say is that first and foremost, what I do, I operate the same way whether I'm working for someone else or myself. My integrity and my work ethic is my integrity and my work ethic. I don't half-ass. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have said that. Okay. So now I'll say it again. So I don't half-ass my day job to build my business and, you know, do it to just grow something. Right. And I'm in a lot of networking groups that are like, you know, get paid while you build your business or whatever. That's not how I operate. Again, I can only talk from my perspective. So I think when you are trustworthy and have integrity in all areas of your life, then you can build other things successfully. As far as for me, I had to make it manageable because I do need to keep my day job. My goal was not just to launch this and then leave, you know, so everybody has different things. So I had to make it manageable. My offerings are manageable. I only take about 2 clients a month on because I want to give them value. I would rather push somebody out a month or 2 than to take on and not give them what everybody deserves, what they're paying for. So I think making sure what is your goal, understanding so many people start businesses and they don't know what they want. They don't know, do they want to do it full time? Or you'll have these entrepreneurs that say, just take a leap of faith. Well, everybody's situation is different. If you're feeding kids, you know, you may not be able to, or even if you are feeding kids, and you have it in your heart that this is something you should do, you have to really make your own decisions. I have a great faith in God. He guides me. Sometimes things don't make sense. My friends shake their head because it doesn't make any sense to do certain things. But as long as I'm acting with integrity and I feel like God is leading me, I know I'm going to be successful. What that looks like, I don't know, but I have to rest in that, right?
Definitely. Okay. And
I don't know if I answered your question or just went on a
No. Well, you answered the part about to balance.
Yeah.
Now for next year, because we have 1 month left.
Yes.
So talk about that.
Yeah. So first and foremost, end well, end the year well, whatever you're doing. A lot of times businesses are a little bit slower during the holidays or whatever. Sharpen your toolbox, right? Get ready to hit the ground running in January. If you have downtime, take those webinars, join networking groups, learn from other people, hire whatever that looks like for you to get you where your goal is. Have definitive goals, because even though I say like write your goals down, but know that you have to be flexible because life happens, things happen. And if you're not thinking on your feet and you're not ebbing and flowing with what needs to be done, you're going to be stagnant. What worked for you in 2023 may not work for you in 2024. Don't be so beholden to any type of processes or procedures that you are not actively looking at the environment and how to grow your business in the here and now.
And there you have it. There you have it. Thank you for onto this podcast and dropping gems. That concludes this episode. And that's about it. And we are out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I hope I didn't go on too many tangents.
Nah, you're good. We out, y'all. Peace.